Okay. Now, we covered last night some things about death and hell and how death is done away with in the new city. And that heavenly Jerusalem, here is pictured, is about the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, coming to earth. And how this earth and heaven were kind of like body and spirit, you know, changed, renewed. And there'll be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Starting tonight in verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. This is about, you know, fully being adopted into Christ and having the fullness of this new heaven and new earth to enjoy. I will give him to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And this we know is God's Spirit. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I'll be his God and he'll be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The cowardly. Think of it, the cowardly. Being a coward is enough to get you sent to the lake of fire. That's about fear, isn't it? And fear is about no faith. Now notice how this is stepping back. This is here is where we discern between the vision and being told about the vision, between the narrative and what the vision actually says. The vision concerns all the future things, but the narrative is done in the present tense. Let me say that again. The vision is in the future, is about the future, but the narrative of the vision is in the present tense. And so we step back and we talk about those that have been thrown into the fiery lake. Now, we've had people who have read this and they've actually believed that it's speaking to people who will live in the new world, because they don't understand the difference between the description of the vision and the vision itself. No, there's not going to be, let me say that categorically here, there's not going to be any cowards or liars or those who are sexually immoral or vile or murderers in the new heaven and the new earth. We're just taking a step back into the narrative to explain that these people will not be here in this new heaven and new earth. And these are things that people have got to pay attention to. Now, one of the things that we've got to see that's constant throughout this is the stepping back into this narrative. This narrative, as they would say. The stepping back into the difference between the vision and the things that happen in the visions. All right. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now notice this again is sticking back into that narrative, right? This isn't happening during the new heaven and the new earth. This is stepping outside of that vision, that part of the vision. This is taking a step back and looking at things. So one of the angels who had brought this picture is telling him this. Come, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried away me in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God,
It shone with the glory of God. Its brilliance was like a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates.
Now, it tells you right here that this heavenly Jerusalem that's set down is the bride of Christ. It is the body of Christ. Listen to what he says. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from the heaven of God. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates in the east, 3 in the north, 3 in the south, and 3 in the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So we see that there's 12 gates having to do with the 12 tribes of Israel, and these foundations for the 12 apostles. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. And he measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and wide and high as it was long. And he measured the wall, and it was 144 cubits thick, by man's measurement, what the angel was using. 144 and 12,000. You get an equation here, don't you? Right? 12 times 12,000 is 144,000. Now listen to this again. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. This is multiplication. This is what we would call spatial multiplication. Like calculating square miles, only not just laying down flat square, but high square. Not just the land itself, but the air over the land, each one being a cube in itself, like a stone. As wide and as high as it is long. And he measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick, by man's measurement, which the angel was using. Now you can see that picture, right? 12,000 and 144 cubits thick. Measured each one in that cube. And I don't want to get into a lot of math here, but you can see this equation, right? And the symbolicness in the 144th in the 12,000. So, you know, this has a meaning. Now, is this a literal city? This is what we've got to stop and ask. Is this a literal city? Remember, we had a guy leave the other night that called himself an apostle because we told him it isn't literally a city. It is literally, according to the Spirit, a city, but not a city as we know it. It is the bride of Christ, and it tells us that very clearly, doesn't it? And you can see that these measurements themselves are figurative measurements. 144 relating to the 144,000, and 12,000 relating to the 12,000 each tribe within the 144,000. You can see where that relates. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. So it's not only the streets, but the wall were like transparent glass. Right, refined gold tried in the file. And, you know, all of this has a spiritual intonation, not physical. If you think that you're going to go up there and see, I mean, in the new heaven and the new earth, which, by the way, isn't up there, it's down here. The new Jerusalem is set down upon the new earth. Everything is made new. Remember what God said. It's about heaven, the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. Remember where it says that city set on the great mountain? That city set on the great mountain. Remember what it says about that stone that was tore out without human hands and hit the statue in Daniel 2 at the base, at its feet, and that stone grew into a great mountain? That's the mountain we're talking about. And the city was set down on top of that mountain. Now, I want you to understand that as each of these gems, amethyst, jacinth, and so forth, it's a reference to each one of these tribes. It is a reference to each one of these tribes and about value, about being made into gems, and about the suffering and the work it takes to make a gem, about the work not only of nature. I want you to see this. This is real important, and this is the meaning of gems. You notice that there's two different workings of gems. Let's take a diamond, for example. It takes years of pressure and everything by nature to make a diamond. But once you find the diamond, fully made, is it done? No, it has to go to a jeweler. The jeweler has to cut it, doesn't he? The jeweler has to form the facets to bring out its brilliance. And then he has to put it into a setting that sets it off, right? Right. Can you see this between the Old and the New Covenant? Can you see this between the physical and the spiritual? One forms you through suffering, like your faith is gold refined in the fire. But the other part of it is done in a spiritual way. Can y'all see this? There's two parts to making that jewel into a place where it needs to be. And we see this, you know, prophesied in these 12 tribes. And we see this prophesied in these 12 apostles. So there's meaning here. And we're not going to go over all the individual meanings right now. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the land is its lamp. The Lamb is its lamp. Now, think about this. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Now think about it. Exactly, this is spiritual. You know, this is the difference between the physical and the spiritual. The physical, we need types of light. In the spiritual, we have the reality of light. And it's trying to tell you this. So you can see that these things are figures for things you can't see. It's using all of these descriptions of worth and value so you can understand how much more valuable it is and how much more precious it is than the examples of things that you see. Amen. What is seen is temporal, what is unseen is eternal. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates be ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down to the middle of the great city of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp, or the light of the sun, for the the Lord God will give them might, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his service these things that must soon take place. Now notice this. This is basically the end of the vision. Right here. I want you to notice something in the book of Revelation. Revelations 1. This vision starts out with this saying. And this is designed to show you something. This is all connected. It's all connected. It's one thing. It starts off by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He has made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Listen to that again. Revelation is not just the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Look how it ends. And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. The vision starts with that, and it ends with that. The vision starts with that, and it ends with that. In other words, the vision we're going to see is still going on. But the things that he meant for John to see in the vision are finished. What's left of the vision is pure epilogue. You know what epilogue is? It's like a closing statement. You know, we could call the closing statements at the end of a trial an epilogue. We could call the epilogue the decision and the final review of everything that's happened. That's what an epilogue is. So the vision right here, everything that God wanted to tell John, is between Revelations 1:1 and chapter 22, verse 6. It starts with that credo, and it ends with that credo. It starts with that phrase, and it ends with that phrase. Now let's look at the epilogue. Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Showing you that the prophecy is done, right? It shows you that the prophecy is done. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. All those things were from where? Between Revelation 1:1 and Revelation 22:6. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard them and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the book, for the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. All liars have their place in the lake of fire, as I said earlier. Now, does it say that there's going to be people who misunderstand this? Is it telling us that all these people are living outside of that great city? That they're alive? Where it says, outside are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood? No, because it told us very clearly where these people are. Let me read it again. Let me read that part again. But the cowardly, verse 8, 21... Chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic art, the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So when it tells us that, when it goes back here and tells us uh, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. That outside is a reference to the fiery lake. They're not just outside that city. They're outside of everything. They're in the fiery lake. It's important to understand that. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you. This testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bride and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take free of the gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes the words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, what you see here is a breakdown of Revelations 21 and 22 in the proper order, in order to be able to understand them. Tonight we haven't talked about any great understandings. We're talking about the ability to be able to break it down properly in order to understand it. How many of you can see that? Now, this is a good place to stop, and I'm going to take questions and answers, but this is a breakdown of Revelations 21 and 22 so you can understand it, so you can begin to understand the difference between the vision, the epilogue, and the things described in the vision, and the narrative of the vision.